for what you want. You can ask God, what would you have for me to do, Lord? Lord, we need you this morning, and we can't do nothing without you. If it had not been for you, when our enemies came to eat of our flesh, you put a host around us. Nothing like basking in his presence. I don't wait to get to church to bask in his presence. I bask in his presence at the house. I bask in his presence in my car. I bask in his presence on the job. Oh, one thing I know, there's nothing like corporate worship. Yes. When all the saints get together and uplifted hands and holy hands and holy hearts unto the Lord. It's like being in a symphony. It's like being in an orchestra where you have a conductor. God is the conductor. And as God conducts his body, as the conductor conducts an orchestra, it makes harmonious music where others will hear and rejoice and be glad. God to praise. You'll never be the same. We thank God once again for another opportunity to speak his word. We thank Pastor Will for another opportunity. We thank you for lending an ear to hear what this says the Lord. Our scripture reading for this morning is coming from Psalms 40. That's Psalms 40, verse 1-3. When you have it, say amen. That's Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3. Amen. Do you have it?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. The text says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. God's word is already blessed. I know it's more to it, but the first three verses is enough. Amen. Title of my message this morning, A Praise That Benefits Others. A praise that benefits others. What I would like to try to convey is, how do we wait patiently on the Lord? The other point I would like to suggest is, what happens when prayer is answered? And the third is, praise that benefits others. Starts off that David was exiled 2 times during his ministry. He was exiled from Israel when Saul was chasing him. He was exiled when his own son was chasing him. It opens up with David saying he was in a pit of destruction that he couldn't escape on his own. It may have been a time when he was running from Saul. You know, it's bad when saints is jealous of one another. Saul was a king and David was the up and coming king, but they were working for the same king, which is God. It also could have been a time he was trapped in sin when he slept with Bathsheba and murdered her husband. It could have been a time when his own son, Absalom, tried to take the kingdom from him. Yet, whatever it was, the situation seemed hopeless. Yet it teaches us to have faith in God. Amen? Yes. The history of David was that he was a worshiper. This is a man of God. Just like many of us, we are men and women of God, but we go through circumstances and changes in life. He was a worshiper, a man after God's own heart. He was a warrior. He was courageous. He was a king. He was a murderer. He was adulterous. He had 8 wives and several concubines, yet he was forgiven. Yet, like many of us, he had issues. Yet he had enough sense to cry unto the Lord. How many have enough sense when you're in a tight place that you can go to God in prayer? Amen?
Amen.
The text say, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my prayer. It was a prayer for deliverance by David. How do we wait patiently for the Lord? I read this quote this week. It was unnamed quote. It says, when you want to wait patiently, it says, it got to be in God's timing, not mine. It says, Psalm 46 and 10 say, be still and know that I am God. It has to be in God's will, not mine. Luke 22:42 says, Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. It has to be God's plan. not mine. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, of peace and not of evil.
Yes.
It got to be, and give you expecting, and it has to be according to God's glory, not mine. I'm not trying to steal no glory from God. Number two, we must wait with great expectation. When you're waiting on something from God, when you're waiting to hear from God, you can't be like, I'm sad and mad and crying and sad, but you got to have an expectation. Romans 8:21, 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. How many love them this morning? How many know that all things, not some things, not one, two, or three things, but all things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, they all work together for God's good. And then it says, them who are called according to his purpose. We must come and begin to trust and seek in his divine will for all situations that seem hopeless. How do we wait patiently for God? We must pray. And when you have prayed, pray some more. And when you have prayed, pray some more. The example of prayer, I read this prayer and I thought it was so beautifully written. It says, dear Lord, help me in your infinite wisdom and love when I face challenges of uncertainty. Remind me to surrender my will into your caring hands and help me to rely on you and strengthen my faith. Did that help anyone this morning? The songwriter said, I don't mind waiting. I'm not just waiting on anybody or anything. I'm waiting on the Lord. It says to incline means that Psalm 145:18, God is not distant, nor is he near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth and faith. God is not a God that's in some faraway country. He's right here in the midst of us. He's right here concerned about every situation that we're going through. It's a blessing that we serve a God who hears and answers prayer. But not only does he hear and answer prayer, y'all, he has all power.
Yes.
He has all power to do something about it. And is available and concerned about the affairs of his children in this world, in the world to come. Do you trust him? Do you believe him?
Yes.
Proverbs 3:5-6 say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Sometimes when I'm waiting, it seems like God is taking a long time, but I know when he shows up. How many know when he shows up? When he shows up, he's gonna show out in your life. He will do something. I don't know what, but I know he's gonna do something. I know that he's working it out for my good.
Yes.
I learned one thing about God. He might be delayed, but you won't be denied.
Amen.
I learned one thing about God. He might be delayed, but you won't be denied. I'm so glad he heard me. Are you glad that he heard you? He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. As he brought anybody here this morning up out of a horrible situation, Jesus can lift you. Jesus can bring you out of all your situations. To the unconverted person who is being convicted of his sin, by the Holy Spirit. Jesus can lift you. He can make you part of his body. It's as easy as ABC. Admit, believe, and confess. The backsliding believer, one that seems to just get further and further away from what he was used to be excited about, he started drifting and drifting. But through prayer, God can bring them back. I remember watching a race car, the Indianapolis 500. And the car would go around the track. And I say, wow, no car stalled out. Nothing happens to the car. But they would go off the track and go into this place called a pit. And they went into the pit to get their tires changed, to get repairs, to get some other items that could help them go further in the race, amen? But you know what I saw? Just like they're going in the pit, we need to go in a pit and get some things changed in our life, get some things rebuilt in our life, get some things restored, get some things to be powered up. So that we can make the race, amen? That we can finish the race.
Yes.
Pits. The pits of life is when we are seeking guidance for our lives. When we just don't know what to do. I heard Pastor say that one time. Something in scripture. He said, when you just don't know what to do, that becomes a dark place. It becomes uncomprehensible.
Yes.
What should I do with this situation? I need your help, Lord.
Yes.
It's a pit. Addictions are a pit. Depression is a pit. Negative mindsets is a pit. Stress is a pit. But you know what? Jesus can lift us out of the pit.
Amen.
The question this morning is not so much how you got out of the pit, but my question to you this morning, how did you get in the pit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How you get in a pit, Pastor Will? Maybe they knew that it was there. You know, the pit is right here. And they saw it. But I remember Pastor Will saying, you get too close to the line and you fall in. You just fall in because you got too close.
Right.
Maybe someone came along just like Joseph brothers and threw them in the pit in spite of. Some people that you be around, they do dirty dog things to us. They do dirty things, man. I had some nephews, they was doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. And they gave him some bad drugs and messed his whole mind up. In spite of. Maybe it's a familiar place to you, a pit. It's familiar to you. It's a familiar place. It's a place that you used to be out before conversion. It's people, places, things that lures you. You know, you throw a fishing rod line out with a lure and you retrieve it. And the fish come in and try to attack the lure.
Right.
But sometimes that's just like in our life. The things we've been delivered from, it starts making this music. It starts presenting itself as beautiful. And that's a lure, amen? Sometimes in life, things seem to have us so bogged down that we can't get ourselves out of the pit. Have you ever been there? The more you pray, it seems like you can't get out. The more you abstain, it seems like you can't get out. The more you tell God, I'm not going to do it no more, you can't get out. You know? And you can't even get your own self out of the pit. Mama and daddy can't pull you out. Even if someone throws you a lifeline, it's too short. It's too short. The lifeline is too short. I throw it out. I thought I had 50 feet. Is your problem that deep that a 50-foot line can't reach you? It takes the hand and the power of God to pull me out. Because Ezra 7:28 says, because the hand of the Lord, my God, was on me and I took courage. I knew that he would bring me out because he brought others out. Yeah. And if he brought others out, he can bring you out. He can bring me out. It says, just like Ezra, trusting in God's hand, it was able to pull you out. He said that, Psalmist said that when he pulled him out, he set his feet upon a rock. He set my feet on solid ground, a solid foundation. You can't build a house on a bad foundation, Rick. I don't care how good the upstairs look in a house, Rick, the foundation got to be strong. He is a God I can depend on and establish my goings. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man or woman is ordered by the Lord. When a man or a woman ways please the Lord, our God guides and support them even when he stumbles.
Right. Right.
And I want to say in closing that he has put a new song in my heart. When he brings you out, you should be exuberant. You should be excited because he changed me. He redeemed me. He restored me. I can sing hallelujah. Great is your faithfulness. New. God don't want no stale praise. God wants to do something new, fresh, and exciting in your Christian walk in life. He wants to do something new with your worship and praise by exalting and telling him how much he's worth to you. Can you tell the Lord thank you? Can you tell him how much he means to you? It says that when people see it, when they see our praise, it will benefit others. Many shall see it, just like today, just like all during your years in life. People see your praise. People see your walk. People see your talk. And they want what you have. And they begin to fear the Lord. They begin to have reverence for the Lord. And then they begin to trust in the Lord, just as we have trusted in the Lord.
Yes.
In closing, the only way to all of this is possible is that you have to accept the free gift of salvation. Believe that you're a sinner. That you feel his conviction power, repent, turn away from sin, and turn to God. In no ways will God cast you out. Confess that Jesus died for your sin on a rugged cross and was raised the third day with all power in his hand. And that's why we praise him, because he is the one that can change us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.